for Leo. It is not okay for you. Mark chapter 5, if you've found that and you're able to stand, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Mark chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains that had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of that country. But now was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And when they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Here's what I want to preach to you about this morning. Dear Jesus, please go away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us today and for an opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, thank you for this weekend that we have set aside to celebrate the founding of our country. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our country, that you would help it to prosper, that you would help us to make right and God-honoring decisions. Lord, I ask today that as we look into your word, you would use it in our hearts and lives to do the work that needs to be done. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You see, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has just finished giving some parables and talking to a group of people. And then it's starting to get dark. And he says to the disciples, let's get in the boat and we'll go to the other side. And so they take off across the sea, and a storm comes up, and Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And they woke him up, and they said, Don't you even care that we're about to die here? And Jesus said, Peace, be still, and calm the storm. And if you look at the end of chapter number 4, in verse 40, it says, And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they're amazed at Jesus and what he has said and what he has done. And now as the day breaks and they're coming to the other side, they're coming to the land of the Gadarenes and Decapolis and that region on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as they pull up to the shore, a strange character runs down to meet them. Now they tell us that they're on that side of the Sea of Galilee. It's sloping and there are hills and cliffs. And the thinking is that the man, being in the tombs and in the graveyards, is up on the cliffs and he sees the boat coming from a distance. And so he runs down and meets them at the shore, and he comes down and falls at the feet of Jesus. But this is not just any man. This is a man with some serious issues. I mean, he has got some problems. He is possessed by devils. His family has blown apart. We don't know anything about his history. But he has no job, he has no family, he's all alone, he lives in the tombs up on the hillside, and at night they hear screaming and crying, and it's this man. It happens every night. All the screaming, all the crying. He takes rocks and he cuts himself, and he's ripped off all of his clothes, and he comes through with no clothes on, screaming and hollering and bleeding, and he's a terror to everybody. Everybody's afraid of him. He's the crazy guy that lives up in the tombs. And that's the guy that sees Jesus coming. And he comes running down the hillside and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And if you read the narrative, it says that Jesus knew that he was possessed by devils and told the devils to come out. And the devil said, we want to stay in this land. We're comfortable here. There's some swine up on the hillside. Can we go into the swine? And Jesus said, go ahead. Now there are 2,000 swine. That's a lot of pigs. That gives you an idea of how bad this man's situation was. When Jesus said, what is your name? He said, Legion, for we are many. He's full of devils. And there may well have been thousands of them because they go into 2,000 swine. And by the way, the devil only does damage. He only does damage. He doesn't do anything good. He'll tell you he's going to give you something good. He's lying. He's just going to do damage. He hates you. He hates all people because we're made in the image of God. And his top scenario is to destroy as many as possible. Just get rid of people. Destroy them altogether. And when they're being sent out of this man, what they're looking for is some way to do damage in their final moments. And so they go into the swine, and next thing you know, 2,000 pigs are running down the cliffs and jumping into the sea, and they all drown, and they're all dead. You see, even in the moment of having to free this man from his bondage, the devil still wants to do as much destruction as possible. And he does. And so 2,000 swine are now dead and gone. And the keepers of the swine see what's going on. They run into town and say, hey, there's a guy down there. He just sent devils into the swine. Our swine are all dead. All the pigs are gone. I mean, our entire economic situation has just been turned upside down. The pigs are gone. They're all dead. And they all ran out to see who this guy is and what he's been doing. And they get out there, and here is the man that has been running around naked, cutting himself and screaming every night for as long as they can remember. And he's sitting there next to Jesus. He's got clothes on, and he's in his right mind. He's talking. They're asking questions and chatting back and forth. And it's like he's an entirely different man sitting there next to Jesus. Now, wouldn't you think at that point, if you have been tormented by this man for years, you'd be excited that something good just happened? But they're not. Instead, the first thing they say is, Jesus, would you please leave? We don't need you here. We don't want you here. So, well, that doesn't even make sense. That's crazy. I mean, the thing that has tormented them for so long is now done. It's finished. It's over. This man can now go back to his family. He can go back to his home. He can go back to his work. He can be part of the community again. And they're not even concerned about what wonderful thing has just happened to this man. All they want is for Jesus to get out of there as soon as possible. And they pray him to leave their coast. And you know what the saddest part of the whole story is? He leaves. He leaves. Listen, when you tell Jesus you don't want him and tell him to go away, he will leave you alone. That's a scary thought right there. When you decide you have no use for him and you don't want what he has to offer and you tell him to go away, he will go away. And you'll regret it for a long, long time. Don't ever do that. They say, please go away. Why in the world would they do such a thing? Well, I submit to you this morning, first of all, because he reminded them of their sin problem. He reminded them that they had an issue. They had a serious problem. You see, they had kind of gotten used to the crazy guy in the tombs. When that's just the way it is, that's just the way it is. You know, you get used to things. You adapt. I've been in places, you know, where the church was next to railroad tracks. And we've been there for a week. We've been in campgrounds where the church, where the campground was next to railroad tracks. I've visited people where their home was next to railroad tracks. And the first day, you hear that silly train every time it comes through, and everything shakes. And the next day, it's not such a big deal. And you know as well as I do, after you're there for a while, you don't even know a train has gone by. You don't even hear it anymore. You don't notice the shaking. You don't pay attention anymore. And that thing that would have all of us wondering, what in the world just happened, you don't even hear it. When you live near an airport and you got jets going over all the time, after a while you don't hear the jets. You just block them out. You don't pay attention. And when there's a crazy guy up in the tombs every night screaming at the top of his lungs, for a while it's scary. Until you realize that's going to happen every night. And when you hear it every single night, you don't even pay attention to the screaming coming from up on the hill. That's just the way it is. And they had gotten so comfortable with this horrendous sin in their midst that they didn't even care anymore. That's just the way he is. He was born that way, or else his environment made him that way. Listen, there's a lot of things that go on today and we just excuse it and we live with it. We say that's just the way they are. Just the way it is. Well, it's because of their environment, and that's the home they were raised in, and that's just the life they understand, and so that's the way it'll always be. And we excuse sin. Just because that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Well, that's just how our society is. But that doesn't make it any less sin in the eyes of God. It doesn't make it any less evil in the eyes of God. Just because we've gotten numb to it, just because we've gotten used to it and we've bought into the lie that we're born that way and we have to stay that way. You see, Jesus saw it for what it was. It was a spiritual problem that needed to be dealt with. They didn't see it that way. They saw it as just, it's just the crazy guy. Just the crazy guy up in the tombs, and they had gotten comfortable with their sin, and Jesus pointed it out. And when Jesus begins to point out sin, quite often we don't like it. It makes us nervous. It really does. Some of you, as I just said, what I just said, you have things spinning in your mind. And you're thinking, I think I know what he's talking about. I think it's that thing or that thing or that thing. And you're still fairly comfortable because I didn't say that thing yet. And some of you are shaking in terror right now because I might say that thing. And we don't want to talk about that as sin. It's just the way it is. That's not sin. So we call the drunk an alcoholic. He caught a condition. Or he got it from his grandparents. I'm smiling at you because you can't get mad at me if I smile at you. God says it's sin. Well, you know, you just got to accept the whole transgender thing because after all, they're just born that way. And God says it's sin. It's just sin, that's all. You say, well, but some people just have a natural inclination. I'm not arguing with you. I'm really not. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, a lot of stuff happened. And we got messed up on that day. We got messed up big time. And now people are born with natural inclinations for all kinds of wickedness and evil. Listen, you can go down to prison and find some child molester pervert who was born that way. And he was born that way because he was born with a messed up DNA because of sin. And all of us are messed up because of sin. And our wicked, vile flesh wants stuff that God says is bad for us, that God says is wrong, that God says is sin. And the day that you surrender to it and say, I was just born that way, is the day that you say, I don't care what God says. Leave me alone, God. And that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Well, I got it from my parents or my grandparents. Well, maybe it's time for Jesus to show up. Because He can fix that. Amen? He can fix it. The problem is, we don't like to see our problems as sin. And they said, Jesus said, this is a spiritual problem. There are devils here. The devils have got to come out. Here's the second reason they wanted Him to go away. First of all, He reminded them of their sin. Secondly, He threatened their lifestyle. Now, that's a big one. That'll turn off a lot of folks right there. They don't want Jesus around because they don't want their lifestyle messed with. And He threatened their lifestyle. You see, here they are in the region of Decapolis on what would be the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And did you notice what it is that he sent the devils into and what they were doing? Their entire livelihood is built around raising pigs. Now, these are people who are of Jewish descent. Now, they've mixed in with some of the heathen around, but these are still predominantly Jewish people who are now, for their livelihood, raising pigs. Now, according to the law that they are living under, God says they are not supposed to touch them, they're not supposed to be around them, they are unclean, and these are people who have already decided, I'm going to do something God said I'm not supposed to do because it's economically profitable for me and it's my livelihood. And they've already rebelled against God. And now Jesus showed up and threw the pigs in the ocean. Now their livelihood has been messed with. Somebody just touched their economic situation. And they're not going to put up with that. And they want Him gone so they can go get some more pigs. See, he's messed with their lifestyle. Their whole livelihood's built around pig farming. And when you live in opposition to the Word of God, you're inviting the devil to take up residence. You are. You're saying, this is a good place for you to live, devil, because I'm already running from God over here. So you can come on in and do your dirty work. This is a good place for it. And Jesus is about to mess up their lifestyle. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said this, being loath to quit either their sins or the swine, they chose rather to abandon the Savior. We've grown comfortable with our sin over here and our swine or our livelihood over here. And so, Jesus, there is no place for you in this area. You've got to go. We've got to get rid of you. We don't want you here. It's not that different today. Jesus has been not only asked to leave, but it's been insisted that He leave our public discourse. Why? Well, because if we bring Him in, then we've got to talk about things He doesn't like and whether or not they're right and wrong. And it might just mess up our economic situation. It might. It might deal with some of the stuff we got to do in order to make ends meet. It might damage your restaurant if you can't sell booze in there anymore. Oh, we don't drink it. We just sell it to other people. That's what these people... We don't eat these pigs. Oh, no, they're unclean. We just sell them to other people. That's a handy excuse, isn't it? No. Very convenient. And then Jesus shows up and all of a sudden things get awkward. When He said, not only don't get drunk, He said, don't look at it in the cup and don't give it to anybody else. That kind of makes it hard, doesn't it? We were in Cracker Barrel, and just in the last year, Cracker Barrel, of course, has started selling booze. And now they're not just selling it, they're pushing it. I mean, they are pushing it. And it just befuddles me. We went into our Cracker Barrel in our town, and they were selling red, white, and blue popsicles in booze. Now, who do you suppose the target audience is when you're selling booze in a popsicle? It's not the 60-year-old drunk. It's the 18-year-old idiot or the 16-year-old idiot who thinks he's found something wonderful. It is just as wicked and vile and ungodly as it can be. And then they have Christian music on their little thingy to sell. And somebody's a little confused at headquarters, somewhere around there. What are they doing? Well, I bet you if you went in and talked to them and asked them why they're selling booze, they'd tell you. Well, it helps our financial situation. And, you know, we got to give people jobs and we got to do this and that. And that's just what we got to do. That's exactly what these people have said. We're only herding swine because that's what we got to do. I mean, look at these cliffs. We can't do anything else. We can't plant crops here. We got to, pigs are the only things that'll live here. And we got to live and we got to be comfortable. So we're just going to ignore what God says. And then Jesus showed up. Next thing you know, the pigs are dead. So they said, please go away. Go away. We don't need that kind of religion around here. We don't need that radical stuff. Give us the comfortable kind. Give us the kind where we can show up and then we can go have a drink afterwards and we can enjoy the place and we'll show the Super Bowl instead of church and give us that kind of religion. But Jesus doesn't give that kind of religion. You don't get that kind of religion from Jesus. He doesn't offer it and he doesn't show up when it's there. No, he has a whole different kind. Whole different kind. And then finally, he touched their idol, the thing that was most valuable to them. Their entire economic system, their lifestyle, not only did he threaten it, but he turned it upside down. And there are some things that you just can't touch without offending people somewhere along the line. But you know what Jesus did? He focused on that one man who desperately knew he was in need of help. I just envisioned that man full of devils running down the hillside. It was the first thing that he had done that the devils hadn't told him to do in a long time. And when Jesus showed up, just for a minute, somewhere in the recesses of his mind, he said, I'll bet you he can help me. And the devils probably fought him all the way down the hill. And he ran down the hill anyway. And he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, come out. And the devils are thrown out. And now the man is clothed and in his right mind. And his whole life is changed. You see, that's what Jesus has to offer. The world offers pigs. The world offers all kinds of stuff. But Jesus offers freedom. Jesus offers deliverance from whatever sin. So, oh, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I'll bet you your life wasn't as messed up as this guy's. Probably not. So, oh, but I've done wicked, wicked things. That's all right. If Jesus can deliver you from a legion of devils, he can deliver you from that sin back there. Because when he died on the cross, there's a song in your hymnal. It's in everybody's hymnal. Jesus paid it all. That means no matter what you've done and where you've been, he has the solution for your sin problem. Now, if you're looking for a comfortable life and a job farming pigs, Jesus doesn't offer that. But if you're looking for deliverance from your sin, he offers that. And he can do it just like that. All you got to do is just what that man did. Come down and throw yourself at his feet and say, I need help. I need help. And he got it. Amen. The wonderful thing about salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is that the work is already done. All you got to do is ask him for it. And he'll give it to you. But if you get all stirred up and say, well, I just don't think that it's that big a deal. And I wouldn't want Jesus messing up my lifestyle. And I wouldn't want him touching those things that are important to me and changing things in my life. Well, then you can always ask him to go away. That's what they did. They asked him to go away. And he got in the boat and he left. And the man said, I want to go with you. You see, once he met Jesus, he didn't want to be separated from Jesus at all. But Jesus said, no, you can't go with me. What you need to do is go back up all through Decapolis, all through this entire area, and tell everybody what I did today. Can you imagine the crazy guy who's been naked and cutting himself and screaming all night long for years shows up in the middle of town with his clothes on and thinking right and acting right and speaking clearly, and somebody's going to say, what in the world happened to you? And he's going to say, Jesus did this. Now, I hope when we get to heaven, we can find out what resulted because of him staying there and telling everybody what Jesus did. I suspect some good things happened in Decapolis because Jesus had touched one man's life. And even though everybody else wanted him gone, there was still somebody there who could tell everybody what Jesus did. Don't be the one that asks him to leave. Be the one who looks at a guy whose life was all messed up and sees what Jesus can do, and then lets Jesus change your life. You know why we're going to be out in the tent for the next several days? We're kind of hoping that some lost folks will come. We're really hoping some lost folks will come. And we're going to preach the gospel to them over and over and let them know what Jesus can do. Not what we can do, what Jesus can do. Because sitting in this room are a bunch of people who at one point were really messed up. I mean messed up. And then Jesus came by. And instead of saying, please go away, they said, I need what Jesus has to offer. And they trusted him as their Savior. And now they want to tell other people what Jesus has done. See, it's the same old pattern. It's the same old story. And that's what we're up to this very day. And if you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, please don't ask him to go away, because he will. Instead, fall at his feet and ask him to save you. And he will, just like he did for that man. Don't ask him to go away. Mm-mm. Ask him to come in. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you.